I'm glad to be here, although, the circumstances are a bit difficult. Today, I want to take a look with you into the life of another of the patriarchs. Pastor John has spoken about Abraham and his life over the last weeks, and I want to take a look with you into the life of Joseph, the great-grandson of Abraham. Before we do so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to open up the Bible and we want to read, and we invite you and your Holy Spirit to teach us and to let us see how much that affects our lives today and how much it is important for us to know that you are with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I'm reading through the story of Joseph and his life, there is one expression that really hits me right in the face. And you will probably know it right away what I mean when I start reading from Genesis chapter 39. Let's read together Genesis chapter 39. And I want to start with the verse 1 to 4. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Do you know what I mean? What really hits me? The Bible says, the Lord was with Joseph. I cannot understand that. Can you? Joseph was the son of a wealthy man, and the hatred of his brothers made it that his brothers took him, stripped him down naked, threw him into a dried-out well, and finally sold him to a couple of Ishmaelites who brought him to Egypt and sold him as a slave. I cannot understand how to see that God was with him in this situation. But even Potiphar saw it. In the midst of all the bad circumstances, even Potiphar, his slave master, he saw that God was with Joseph. Now, when Potiphar saw it, he put Joseph into for his household in charge of everything. And Potiphar saw that the Lord blessed his house because of Joseph. But unfortunately, that is not the end of the story. It came worse. We all think it might not be able to get worse, but it came worse for Joseph. The mean wife of Potiphar arranged that he even became a prisoner. Let's go to the same chapter in Genesis 39, but to the verses 20 to 22. There it says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Here again, somebody else saw that God was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph was not only a slave, no, he was a prisoner, but God was with him. That, as we know, wasn't the end of the story, but for Joseph at this moment, it was. That was as deep as he could go, and that for him was the end of the story. And we cannot go on and we cannot read this story without raising a number of questions, I think. And the biggest question that comes to me right now, that is the question, how could Joseph ever know that God was with him? How could Potiphar and later the prison warden, how could they know that God was with Joseph? The circumstances clearly were against Joseph, which means circumstances are no indicator that God was with Joseph or that God is with us. Circumstances don't really mean anything when it comes to the question if God is with us. Now, right now, I even don't dare to use these C words and the P word that we hear everywhere in the news. We have trouble. We have trouble as single people, and we have trouble as a church. We are going through a real hardship right now. When I look at me here today, I'm standing in front of an almost empty sanctuary, a couple of empty chairs and a few technicians, and the worship team is here to hear me. That is kind of, not really what we want to see and what we like. But as hard as it may seem to some, I know that these circumstances don't mean that God isn't with us. See, I know for sure that there are some people who never ever in their life would set a foot into our church building, that they come in on the internet and they watch our services. And that's true for many other churches worldwide. Are we suffering from the circumstances? Maybe. But that doesn't mean God is not with us. God uses these things to bring other people closer to the church. We learn as single people, as single person, or we learn as church to live without certain things we just cannot have at the moment. But we see other blessings. But that doesn't really answer my question how Joseph could know that God was with him. So let me go back to this question. What was it that made Joseph know that God was with him? Maybe that a few of you know that we have a holiday today. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow, that's another holiday, but today is the day of Pentecost. I hope some of you at least know that. Pentecost is a Greek word and stands for the number 50, which just means that 50 days after Passover, the Holy Spirit, manifested in such a big way to the then just coming up Christian church that the day of Pentecost is a day of celebrating the Holy Spirit. And I think it's exactly the Holy Spirit that made Joseph aware that God was with him. Because the Holy Spirit is nothing that just came in New Testament times. The Holy Spirit was already there. The Holy Spirit was part of the creation of this world. We read that in Genesis 1, in one of the first verses, that the Spirit of God was there. And I believe, and that's the only answer I can give to this question, that the Holy Spirit made Joseph aware that God was with him. Is God with me? How can I know? I think if you and I, if we invited God, if we invited Jesus into our lives, there's nothing he likes to do more than be in our lives. So, how can I be sure that God is with me? Let me read from the letter to the Romans what the Apostle Paul says to this. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God, and there is nothing that can separate me from God being with me. Once I invited God into my life, that is the normal thing to be. So God is with me. Now, there is this big other question. Then, why are the circumstances so bad? Why have the circumstances been so bad for Joseph? Now, I can tell you, pastors and preachers avoid that why question, because usually they don't have an answer to it. Now, today, I'm glad I found an answer to the why question. And that's what I want to talk to you now. Why did that happen to Joseph? Why did he have to go into slavery and into prison when God was with him? Let's see it that way. What happened to Joseph was some resistance. Joseph had to work, he had to live against resistance. But that's exactly the way how we grow. Go to an athlete, or better even to a bodybuilder, and ask how they grow muscles. How do muscles grow? Muscles only grow when we have some resistance to work against it, when we have to lift weights, when we work it out, then our muscles can grow. And if we don't use our muscles, they will shrink and they will become useless. God wants us to grow. And he wanted Joseph to grow. When Joseph was brought to Egypt as a slave, he was a very young boy still. He was a teenager, and he had to learn a lot because God wanted him to become one of the most important leaders of the world in those days. He wanted him to save his family. He wanted him to rescue the whole nation of Egypt and to become the most important leader in that country. So Joseph went and learned to grow, because if he hadn't done that, I'm pretty sure bribery, flattery, mean habits, whatnot, could have affected him. And that was not in God's plan, that all this rescue means were jeopardized by bad habits, by not knowing how to react on meanness and on false behavior. So Joseph went into the prison, and that's where you probably learn the most tough things in your life. But it was in God's plan. God could use it so that Joseph could grow. Why are certain things happening to us? Because God wants us to grow. Now there's a second answer to that why question. God wanted Joseph to be a parallel to the life of Jesus. And if we look into the life of Jesus and Joseph, we find so many similar things. Jesus was kind of son of a wealthy man. And he came because of the meanness of this world, of what we call sin. He came and became a slave here. He became a human being. He gave up all his likeness to God. Like Joseph. It wasn't his mistake. He didn't make anything wrong. No, it was just same thing. But Jesus didn't become a prisoner. Jesus was sentenced to death. That was even worse than what happened to Joseph. But at the end, when Jesus was raised again, he raised to the most wonderful glory that we can imagine. He is our Savior. And when the time comes that we can live together with him, this will be the most wonderful time we can imagine. So Joseph was raised to big glory, and Jesus was raised to immense glory. And there is a lot of parallels in between the life of Joseph and the life of Jesus. And let me say that when Jesus, on his last day, within his last minutes on the cross, when he said to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" I know that God was there. There wasn't any time God wasn't closer to him. God was there. It was just that feeling. God, you are not here. I'm separated from you by sin. But God was there. And God was never closer to Joseph than when Joseph was a slave or in prison. And there is one third answer I see to this question. Why did all that happen to Joseph? Because it will encourage, and it did encourage, thousands of believers. And I am very sure that it even encouraged Jesus. See, Jesus, he knew the Old Testament stories. And yes, he didn't have a Bible and he didn't have scripture rolls to carry with him, but he knew the story of Joseph. And that gave him, this is what I'm convinced, that gave him some strength and some confidence to go on with his way, because he knew he is on the way to glory, like Joseph was. It encouraged him. And the story of Joseph encourages us. It encourages us to not let our heads hang down, that we don't look at the circumstances, that we find a way to understand that God is with us even in these terrible times, even in these bad circumstances. Let me tell you a story that I experienced in my own life. I was 25 years old when I decided I wanted to become an engineer. Simple decision, if you see it like that, but I was already married and I already had a little son, a little bit over half a year old. So we made arrangements with my in-laws, we moved close to them, and my mother-in-law offered to take care of our little one, and yes, a friend of my father-in-law offered me a job where I could work as often as I had some time, so we got things organized. It was tough. Financially, it was not so easy. And I had to manage my time very well, because I wanted to spend as much time as possible with my little son. So the afternoons usually were the time with my son. And I had to learn and make my homeworks at nighttime. And sometimes I was working through the whole night to get those things done that I had to do. But it worked. And at the end, I became an engineer, and I'm a happy camper. I really loved my job. I had wonderful businesses I worked for, and yes, I really forgot about all the hardness that was happening during those years that I was a student. And I thought it was all gone. 10 years later, I was just preparing and working on a big project for a company. I was projecting a packaging line, and I found that I had to discuss several details with my customer. So I arranged to meet the customer the next day, and was on my way to my superior and said, okay, just that you know, I have to go to this and this company, to our customer, and see them and discuss these and these things. I won't be in the office tomorrow. He looked at me and said, you know what, I'll come with you. Wow. I thought, what did I make wrong? Don't they trust me anymore or whatever? So next morning, we sit in the car, we reach the highway, and all of a sudden, my superior then says, Wilfried, don't worry. I trust you that you do your job right. I let you do all the things. I just want to use this time here with you to ask you a very personal question. Wow, I said, what is it? And then he told me that he knew, of course, because of my application papers, that he knew that I was already a father when I became a student. And then he told me that he has a daughter. She is a nurse, finished with her education. She's engaged to a young, very nice young man, a student of engineering. And the most human thing happened, that she became pregnant. So they sat together and made plans. The young people said, yes, we want to get married. And her parents offered, you can have the in-law apartment in our house, so then the then-to-be grandma can look after the child and everything will be fine. But it wasn't. His parents were totally upset. They said, get married, having a family, that will distract our son from his studies and it will ruin his career. It's impossible to do that. There is only one solution for this problem, and that is an abortion. Wow. I haven't seen many faces as sad as this, as the face of my superior at that moment. He was totally shocked. And then he said to me, Wilfred, I know you are the only person I know who has been a student and a father at the same time. Can you tell me about your experience? So I did. And I could tell him that I wouldn't want to change a single day of those 4 years that I was a student and a father at the same time. It was a great time. I had developed a wonderful relationship with my son that even endures until today. I think we have one of the best father-son relationships that can ever be possible. Prove me the opposite. I'm so happy that all this went this way, and I just let him know that this was the best thing that happened in my life, and that even time-wise, I was able to finish my studies in minimum time of 4 years, which it was at that time. That was our discussion. I did my job, we returned home, and to make a long story short, a couple of weeks later, I heard the young people got married, they moved into the in-law apartment of her parents, and a couple of months later, a baby boy was born. Can you imagine how I feel? What I experienced in my life, what had seemed to be a hardship in my life, it wasn't really too hard, but it was something, yeah, that could have been nicer. But what I experienced saved the life of a little boy. I am so glad about that. And that's exactly what I read here in the Bible with Joseph. What happened to Joseph, I am absolutely sure, saved a lot of lives, encouraged many people. So it's my prayer today that God opens our eyes, that we can see that He is with us. He is with us right now, right here, right today, through His Holy Spirit, and that He can use these things to save other people's lives and to encourage them. May God bless you. May God bless us all.